thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You thought you knew that we were going to be on at 7:30, but we're not.
Actually, we were on.
We just didn't know. We just didn't know. We were actually talking for the past 20 minutes.
20-30 minutes.
And didn't even know we were recording.
We were recording. Broadcasting. But the show wasn't actually, the audio wasn't on. This is terrible. I'm going to speed this whole thing. I'm not even going to tell you the story we told y'all. Anyway, every show is dedicated to my homie Big Ron. All right, so this show is none different. It's not different. We have a fund out for Ron and his family to remember his name and also to help support his family. So make sure you visit the site. The site is www.gofundme.com/CBT730. That's CBT730. Our phone lines are open, so please call in. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904.
Let's go into our tradition of pregame. Sometimes all you can do is laugh. Sorry about that, people. Only thing, if we laughing too much while we're on the microphone, but we literally were talking for 30 minutes.
Going 30 minutes, son. And luckily I got an opportunity to almost finish my turkey burgers. But, the Nationals and Orioles playoff run. We're gonna start with the Nationals. Jordan Zimmerman over the weekend pitched a no hitter, the Nationals peaking.
Yeah, that was the first no hitter in Nats history since they've been in DC. This team is peaking. As we've seen, the staff, the starting five staff, has been 13-0 during the games they've started, with a 1.85 ERA. They got Ryan Zimmerman back, and now this team is starting to ascend, and watch out, world.
Yeah, this team should be they are peaking. This up at the moment, if you think about their best players are pitching. Best players are playing at a high level. Bryce Harper, Jordan Zimmerman, Strasburg, even Gio Gonzalez, who was struggling, has played a decent clip. I believe his last game he had 12 strikeouts. So this team is definitely on the ascent. So Let's just see if this team is going to continue this process. Like I said, we weren't recording.
We had stats for y'all and everything. We were having a real deep conversation about this.
Yeah, but like I said, when it wasn't recording correctly, I forgot what I said.
Were you talking about when you said Roark should be starting?
Not even that. Not even Roark being started. It's just the... I don't remember. Okay. It's not even that.
Let's move past it.
Anyway, do you look at them as the favorites in the NL? It'll come to me later.
I think because they have the best record in the NL, then also you combine that with kind of everyone's predictions from the beginning of the season. A lot of people thought that the Nats would be the representative for the NL in the World Series, and also with people just awing about the young talent they have. And this team, it would have taken them, for the next 2 to 4 years, they're supposed to be contending for a World Series. I think they are the favorite.
Yeah, this team, to me, I wouldn't call them the favorite at the moment, because I think the Dodgers to me are the favorite team, but they have the best pitcher in the world. Their offensive lineup is stacked with Hanley Ramirez, Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Kemp, Crawford. And also, you got Ether, who's on the bench, and you have Yasiel Puig. So this team, to me, the Dodgers, to me, are the favorites because of talent. And if they turn it on, they're a team. That's a team that nobody wants to see in the postseason, in the NL or AL. So I'm gonna go with the Dodgers because the Dodgers, to me, are more stacked. But the Nationals, again, are playing great baseball. They're getting healthy, and the pitching staff is one of the best pitching staff. Well, actually, the best pitching staff in baseball, in my opinion. So this team is peaking, and this team. I mean, when it all comes down to it, I would love to see the Nationals and the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Touche.
Yes.
Agreed. And that's been the fast-forwarded, edited version of our conversation from earlier.
Yeah, it was, really. Now we're still trying to speed through it. The Nats will play either the Pirates or the Giants. They play on Wednesday. The Pirates and Giants play on Wednesday.
And the Nats will know who they'll play.
Yeah, exactly. So who do the Nats match up better against, the Pirates or Giants?
I'm going to go quickly with this. I'm going to say the Pirates, even though they would have to travel to Pittsburgh in that raucous crowd, as we saw last year in PNC ballpark, how they reacted making it to the playoffs for the first time in like, what, 20 some odd years?
Yeah, it was a special crowd.
Yeah, so I do think they match up better against Pittsburgh just because Pittsburgh's starting pitching isn't as great.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Pirates only because the Giants been there before. They won the World Series. They have Buster Posey, who was an MVP in the World Series, a guy who played at a high level. So just because of experience and because that team is a team that's done it before, I would say that team is a team the Nats do not want to play in the postseason. But then again, to me, the Nats should be both teams because the Nats are a better team. They have their offense, to me, down, you know, from 1-9, even including pitchers, have a better hitting team and pitching. And like I said, pitching wise, the Nats have the best pitching rotation in baseball. So I'm gonna go with the Pirates as a team the Nats would like to play. But don't get it twisted. McCutchen is a player you don't want to see. So it can still be a tough series, but I would go with the Pirates. Rumor has it that Gio Gonzalez will be the fourth starter for the Nationals in this postseason. Do you think he should get the nod over Tanner Roark?
Yeah, I think he should. He has that playoff experience. He's a left-handed pitcher, you know, which kind of gives you some variety in your how you want to, you know, compose your pitching matchups. You know, maybe you might want to go with Strasburg game one, Gio game two, because he's a left-handed, then Zimmerman three, then Pfister four. Or maybe you just want to go with Strasburg, Zimmerman, Pfister, then Gio at the end for game four. But, you know, I do think Gio has deserved it, you know, just from, even though, you know, if we look at his stats from this year, you would say no. But I think Gio's probably the best fit now just because Roark's kind of green.
Yeah, Roark's ERA is about 2.85 right now. Gio's ERA is about 3.57, something like that. Even Gio has last five starts were awesome. Don't get me wrong, were awesome. He had a shutout. He gave a one run, I believe three runs in a couple ball games, and maybe and I think two runs. But Roark has been a consistent pitcher for this team, probably one of the best pitchers on the in the rotation. To be honest with you, you can argue that he's been top two amongst that rotation anyway. And for that individual not to get a start, not to be a starter or known as named a starter in the first series, and I think it's pretty, you know, it's funny. It's hard to say that because we live in a situation where you want people, they put in their work, they did their job, and give them what they deserve. And just because Gio Gonzalez is a left-hander, we look at him, okay, well, he should get the nod because we need a left-hander in the rotation. So I would go with Tanner Roark.
And also for me, as I stated earlier, I like to have a little bit of insurance.
Yeah.
And I think Tanner Roark, out of him or Gio, if it came to a guy who I wanted to bring out of the bullpen if someone's getting rattled, I would much rather have Roark to be like that long reliever.
Yeah, we're speeding through this whole thing. This is awesome. we had a real conversation about
with
sports
stats and everything.
And then we were talking about life and talk about my trip. We'll talk about my trip way later.
Talk about that towards the end of the show.
Yeah, we get an opportunity. But you know, I'm gonna let you say this part. I was gonna say it, but I'll let you say it.
What's that?
Let's go up 295.
Let's go up 295 and talk about your Orioles.
Yes, my Orioles. The Orioles are playing the Tigers for game one of the ALDS. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great – hopefully it's going to be an easy series for the Orioles. I'm not all for great series. When it's coming to my team, I'm all for dominating a series. So I hope my team dominates the series. But anyway, Orioles pitcher Chris Tillman will probably be going against Matt Scherzer. And I feel good about it because Tillman is a pitcher that has shown – and I'm glad the national audience will get an opportunity to see Tillman pitch as a guy who is a big-time competitor, a guy who wants the ball and he wants to show the world – wants to show the opposition and how good he is. And I feel like this is a good stage for him. And he'll produce highly because if you all know, Camden Yards is a hitter-friendly ballpark, and Tillman has a low ERA in Camden Yards. So – this guy has the opportunity to shut this team down. He reminds me of Oral Hershiser in terms of his pit bull mentality. He goes after you. He attacks you. Even if he's in trouble, you know, he may have the bases loaded with no outs. and he'll still find a way to get out of that situation with no runs or maybe even one run. So this guy, I am very confident in. Even though Matt Scherzer, again, is one of the better pitchers in baseball, I believe went 18-5 this season, low 3 ERA. So this is a matchup I feel good about because the Orioles historically have hit Scherzer, and they've always had a good approach when going after Scherzer. Scherzer's a guy who throws a lot of pitches, so they wait him out, and eventually they get to that bullpen, and the Tigers' bullpen is still a weak bullpen. So I feel like my team has a good opportunity to take this game.
You should feel confident in them, but my only thing is, you know, you don't want to come out of this game with it a blowout, because you know then you have to go against the rest of that rotation starting rotation, which could possibly pose problems for you. So you know you want to start out game one, get your confidence, and then proceed from there. Hopefully, you know, we have a battle of 295 in the World Series.
That would be awesome. But anyway, real quick, I'm going to read off some Facebook comments about the question, should Oriole fans be confident in game one? My man Gary Allen says, stay hungry. Hashtag stay hungry. Eric says, I am very confident. Tillman has one of the best ERAs in the league in the second half of the season. He is turning into an ace. I cannot see the O's losing at home in the first game with Tillman on the mound. I wouldn't care if Nolan Ryan was pitching. We would still win. That's what's up. My man Steve said, just be careful against Kinsler, Cabrera, and Victor Martinez. I am very scared of Miguel Cabrera. You do not have to tell me that. I am very concerned about that individual, including Victor Martinez. I forgot about Ian Kinsler. He is an Oriole killer, but again, I would pitch around Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera and take my chances with the rest of the lineup. This team is stacked. I totally agree. But like Will said, to me, game one is essential because you set the tone. You do not want to give the Tigers confidence, especially with that pitcher staff. You got an opportunity to take Matt Scherzer out, take him out, take game one, put pressure on the next starter, which will probably be Justin Verlander. Put pressure on Verlander to be great again. He hasn't had a good season. Put pressure on him to see that okay, that struggling Verlander is still going to emerge in this series. So I'm all for it. I'm all for the Orioles trying to take out the Tigers in this series. Of course I'm all for it, but you know what I mean. I'm confident.
Yeah, as you should be.
Okay. So do we gonna go to? I think we're doing good time. You want to do the Derek Jeter segment or not? Let's just speed through this.
We can talk about Jeter.
All right, hold on. Okay, over the weekend, I'm supposed to talk about Jeter. Over the weekend, Derek Jeter played his last game with the Yankees. How do you feel about Derek Jeter's career?
Before we talk about the final series against Boston, let's talk about that Thursday night Bronx.
I thought you want to speed through this crap.
bottom of extra innings, 10th. Derek Jeter, a single through the right field side of the field to get the walk-off run and to end his majestic career in the Bronx at Yankees Stadium with that walk-off. That was special. I actually saw it. I didn't pay attention to the football game that was on at that time. It's something special. The guy's been the face of baseball for the last 10 years at least. What's wrong?
I'm finishing my turkey burger.
Oh, okay. Nah, he's been the face of baseball for at least the past 10 years. He's been he's exemplified excellence. He's been the leader of America's team. So, you know, congratulations on a long and majestic 20-year career. And hopefully he goes on and does just as well as in life after baseball as he has done on the baseball diamond.
Derek Jeter, how much do I hate you? Let me count the ways. It's not you that I hate. I hate the memories of you. I actually think you're a solid guy. You're a cool guy. Jeffrey Mayer made you. And I hate that kid. I do. I hate that kid. That's one kid I can't. He's not a kid anymore, but I hate that kid. And who did he catch that home run? Well, actually, it shouldn't have been a home run. It should have been out by Tarasco. But who did he catch it on? It was on a Jeter home run. It started the whole Jeter trend of Jeter being great. You know what I mean? But all jokes aside, Derek Jeter was a great shortstop. I wouldn't put him as high as folks have him. I actually think it's a slight overrated. I think slightly overrated. But he's a good baseball player. He was clutch, though. Yeah. I'll give him that. He was very clutch. As a defender, He was marginable. I mean, he had years when he was a good defender, but he had years when he was a bad defender at the shortstop position. Was he the best Yankee on the team in any year? I don't think so. I wouldn't call him the best Yankee. Was he the best Yankee? Did he play? He played probably played the best at certain postseasons.
Yeah, and I would never
call him the best Yankee in the regular season. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't think you could ever say during the postseason the Yankees lost because of Derek Jeter. You could say that about A-Rod plenty. And A-Rod's been one of, if not the highest, one of the highest paid players in baseball and on the Yankees. But you can never say the Yankees lost the series because of Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter was always professional. He showed up. He was clutch. He's everything you want a leader to be out on the baseball.
Yeah, definitely a leader. He was definitely, well, a form of a leader. But Derek Jeter, have a nice life.
Kudos, touche.
Have a good career. I mean, hopefully you'll be back. I mean, hopefully you stay in baseball. Maybe you'll be a manager one day. Who knows? I don't really care for you, though. I won't lie to you. But I do care about the chicks you bring in, man. You be getting them, son. Just be getting them chicks. You see, like, he had Jessica Alba, too, right?
Yeah.
Man. He never had Jessica Biel, though, right? That's Justin Timberlake.
I think so, yeah.
He had Jessica Biel, too?
I think he did.
Hey, Justin Timberlake's
girl?
Yeah,
I'm not going to speculate on the
one. Dang, you a beast, had, man. Yeah. Good God, man. I wish I had her. I did. I don't care. I believe in interracial stuff. let's go into boxing. Canelo Alvarez is now back with HBO.
Yeah, this sets the way for a lot of major fights that we possibly couldn't have seen if he was exclusively with Showtime. But this kind of sets the way for a big fights for him down the rest of it, as he continues his career. There's a possibility of Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. There's also a possible fight against, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Then also, you know, because he's on Golden Boy, there's also whatever fights they have at middleweight or super welterweight. So it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out for him. And this also creates an interesting dynamic in September and also May. Because, you know, mm-hmm. Floyd Mayweather, his last two fights will be – he's has them scheduled for Cinco de Mayo weekend and also Mexican Independence Day weekend in September. So Canelo stated that he wants those two weekends. So, and if he gets those two weekends, it's going to be big for him. But the only thing – but this makes it interesting from this standpoint that it creates kind of that dynamic where Floyd is going to have to fight a Manny Pacquiao to bring in the viewers.
Yeah, the money.
To bring in the money and the viewers. He's going to have to fight someone who the public has been clamoring for him to fight. So we already know that Canelo's going to fight Cotto Cinco de Mayo weekend of 2015.
He's losing that money right now. So here, yeah, so Mayweather lost that money.
I'm not going to say he's already lost that money. If he fights, or maybe he moves his date, but I doubt that he will, or maybe Canelo has to move that date to maybe the weekend after, or maybe in April,
That's a Cinco de Mayo fight, though. That's a fight that you would want to
pay. Yeah, because it's Mexican versus Puerto Rican, and it's going to be a huge fight. But if Floyd gives everybody the fight that they've been clamoring for the past 5-6 years, which is him versus Pacquiao, it's going to be a special week for a special weekend for boxing.
Let's go into that. Sugar Ray Leonard had some comments about Pacquiao and Mayweather. Anyway, you mentioned he said this needs to happen.
He said it needs to happen. It's bigger than money. It's about his legacy. He stated that all the iconic fighters of their era have that one defying opponent who they fought. For Sugar Ray Leonard, it was Roberto Duran. The first fight, then the second world famous No Mas fight. For him, it was Hearns. It was Hagler. So, you know, for De La Hoya, no one can say that De La Hoya avoided anyone. He's fought everyone. Bernard Hopkins, you can also say the same thing against him. People are going to, for whatever reason, are going to say that Floyd ducked and dodged and cherry-picked certain opponents, but I don't think that's all the way necessary.
You said Bernard Hopkins? You think they say he dodged my heart?
No, I said Bernard Hopkins has fought everyone.
Exactly.
Floyd Mayweather has to go ahead. No,
but people wanted to see the only thing about Bernard Hopkins' situation, they wanted to see him fight Roy Jones Jr. in his prime. Like both fight each other in the prime.
Both fight, and because they were both stubborn and both of them thought that they deserved the lion's share of the pot, it didn't happen in their prime. But they did fight
Later on.
They fought later on, and also they fought in 1992.
Early in their career. Yeah.
But it, you know, to me, I always say it's kind of a no-win for Mayweather, because if he fights him now and he wins, people are always going to say, you fought Pacquiao when he was shot.
Mm-hmm.
You fought him after he was knocked out against Marquez. If he loses, people will say, oh, you were scared and you haven't fought. That's the reason why you didn't fight him. So damned if he do, damned if he don't. You're going to get people on both sides that are going to make arguments of why he isn't one of the greatest. But I think the proof is in the pudding. Anyone who's seen him during his career and watched during his 47 fights up to now knows why the guy's is probably the greatest defensive fighter of our time that we've seen in a long time.
I would like him to fight. I would love to see him fight Pacquiao and let this thing happen. I'm sick with the excuses though.
Yeah,
Mayweather has to go with excuses. I'm sick of them.
Everyone's sick of the excuses. You know, it comes down to if the networks get behind it, because one fights for Showtime, one fights for HBO. Now, you know, we've had both of them co-promote Tyson and Lewis.
Exactly.
But it all starts with the networks. They have to get behind it. They have to start negotiating. They have to start pushing it. And if they start pushing it, then ultimately we'll see the fight.
She needs to go down. All right, real quick, I'll mention, have you seen LeBron James' hairline of late?
I don't see what everyone's talking about. Well, I didn't. So I guess no.
She didn't see the new hairline initially.
No, I was watching NBA TV, and they had the press conference he recently did, and I guess it's cut low. And
It's bald.
Yeah, almost bald. Are you saying something else I'm missing?
Before that, it was relatively
full?
It was full, like right here. He had clips of it. I'll show it to you during the break.
Okay.
But like right here.
Oh, so you're talking about that front.
It was all covered up.
It looked legit.
And I was like, dang, he got surgery. She got hair surgery. Then you see what you saw.
Okay.
And you're like, what the hell had happened?
I don't know. Maybe his barber decided to not fade the front of his hairline. I don't know.
It's amazing, man. LeBron James, I love you, man. But stop it, man. I love you as a ball player. But
aren't you excited though about NBA basketball coming back?
Not at all.
Not at all. You're still in football mode.
You know when football season.
When will you get excited about after February, after the Super Bowl?
Maybe it depends who I, you know, some, I get excited for rookies to see how rookies are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it pans out. I'm not really happy with Cleveland, what they did to Wiggins, though. So I'm kind of like, a little bit different. You know, I'm a LeBron fan, but what he did with the whole situation with Cleveland, him going to Cleveland, that was cool. But, like, the stuff with Wiggins and stuff kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, I'm excited, nonetheless.
Anyway, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about my Redskins putting up a stinker on Thursday night football against the Giants. And we'll talk about Kirk Cousins. Do you still believe him anyway? I don't. Never did, though. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes. Is a sky full of lighters, a sky full of lighters.
By the time you hear this, I will have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Snap canes, nipple is mine for the milk king. Till nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up.
abusing, no more excuses. Excuse me if my head is too big for this building, and pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you a slick popping on how you flipped your life around. Crockers, who you trying to kid flip? You did opposite, you stay the same. Backwards is still you. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall said busted black luster, cause he couldn't cut mustard, muster up, nothing brain fuzzy, cause he's buzzing, woke up from that buzzing. Now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzards circle around his head waiting for him to drop dead, was it? Or was it cause them bitches wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now,
this cause it's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should.
All right, we're back from commercial break. This is the speed series of the Urban Sports Scene. I feel like a track star.
Yeah, we're trying to, as we, you know, anyone who just joining us, we stated that we were on at around 7:35, so 5 minutes late, but we originally we weren't recording.
Actually, it was on time. We were on time,
but we weren't recording or broadcasting, so...
We thought we were.
So if you just joined us, you haven't missed that much. You missed a pregame, and we're going to try to get through this next segment swiftly,
but informatively.
Yeah.
But anyway, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. And you're with the Urban Sports Scene. All right, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. Again, the phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. All right, it's time to get to the game on Thursday night, the Redskins versus the Giants. Let's get right into it. How bad was Kirk Cousins' performance?
I didn't watch all of the game because I was watching, you know, as I stated, the Yankees and the Orioles went into extra innings, and it was Derek Jeter's last game in the Bronx. So I caught the tail end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when I came in, I was expecting something different. I was expecting a tight game, you know, but it clearly wasn't that. Kirk Cousins... He effed up the money.
Yeah.
He effed up his opportunity. Prime time, a short work week. This was your opportunity to put a stranglehold on the starting quarterback position. And you could tell that he was pressing. Even his coach said so, and he said so. He was pressing. He put a lot of pressure on himself, and it showed in his play.
He has opportunity. Kirk Cousins is who I thought he was. And the Giants, they didn't let him off the hook. They didn't at all. He was who Wally Ola thought he was, and thanks to the G-men, they did not take that sucker off the hook.
Well, I mean, look, the great thing about the NFL is it's so week to week that he'll have another opportunity come Monday night.
against Seattle.
The Legion of Boom at home. It's at home, correct?
Yeah, it's home. It's at FedEx.
So he has opportunity to rebound and put on a better performance than his four interception.
In the second half.
Yeah, was it one touchdown, four interception?
Yeah, had four in the second half.
Yeah, and I think he had like two on back-to-back drives, correct?
Exactly.
Within like something like a minute.
It was Heath Shuler-ish. It was Rex Grossman, Heath Shuler-ish. I didn't know who. I thought I was looking at Tony Romo. I mean, this dude was something else.
I know him and Pierre Garçon really let me down with my fantasy football
team. I know. We'll talk about that because you picked Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, I saw the whole game. His performance was terrible. Again, he won. You could tell it was kind of like the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
You're talking about Quicksand?
I didn't see that. I didn't see it, but I know.
You know the reference? Yeah. So Quicksand. So he was like, he was sinking, and every mistake he made, it was like it was getting worse and it was worse. And you could tell in his mannerisms and his facial expressions that he felt the pressure. He was feeling tighter and tighter and tighter. Like, I want to make a play, but every interception was just like, like his confidence went, it was slowly going down and down. And that's not a trait you want to see in a starting quarterback or a franchise quarterback.
I will say this about the starting quarterback, Robert Griffin III. His confidence stays high.
Yeah.
Even to the point after the game, he throws people under the bus and says, it's not
my fault. It's not my fault. You're right, though. RG3 will not take blame. He'll be like, it's not my fault. Because he's that confident in himself.
He's that confident.
Call it egotistical.
Some say egotistical, delusional. But, you know, he's steady. He keeps his head up. And, you know, he stays strong. And, you know, and we know that there was someone that was happy in the D.C. area about Kirk Cousins' performance.
Yes, RG3.
Absolutely.
That's natural. That's natural, though.
I heard him and his wife cheering all the way over here.
I heard so, too. Not for other reasons, though. But, no, I totally agree. He should be happy. Yeah. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't be a competitor to me.
Yeah, so now he has the time. He doesn't have to rush back. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel compelled to rush back. He can let that ankle injury heal.
Yeah.
And he knows when he comes back, he's fully entrenched as the starting quarterback. Oh, real quick.
So you don't think, that's the question, you don't think Kirk Cousins can still take the job away from RG3?
I think off of this performance, no, but like I said, he has the opportunity Monday to right those wrongs against Seattle. And I really think if he goes out there and he has a performance that's not on a level of Philadelphia but a little bit lower, like a performance similar against Jacksonville, he puts himself back in the running because we know the NFL is week to week, especially Monday night against Seattle, the defending champions. But we all know that's probably not going to happen.
Exactly. Say it again. Probably not going to happen.
So he can just hope for a very strong performance. You know, maybe two touchdowns, one interception. Don't get blown out. Keep it pretty close until the midway through the third. Just don't. You don't be the reason that you are the loss. Reason for the loss. He could possibly rebound and, you know, steady the ship throughout the next, three or four games. Mm-hmm. He's a starter. So there's always the opportunity. Stranger things have happened.
I mean, he has an opportunity. I think there's an opportunity for him to get the job. He just has to play damn near perfect football throughout the way. Not perfect, but you know what I mean? Like, at the level they thought he was going to play.
Yeah.
You know,
No
one's going to be perfect, but he has to play at the level that everybody thought he was going to be at. Like, he was going to be like the quarterback that folks thought he was going to be, like he's going to be better than Robert Griffin III his rookie year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And throwing all those interceptions kind of put him in a level to say, okay, well, this isn't Captain Kirk isn't that quarterback. He's not the quarterback for him.
Yeah. Also, if you notice, like I saw the highlights of the game after the game was off. Most of his interceptions came when he tried to throw it outside of the numbers.
Yeah.
So that lets you know that maybe he doesn't have that cannon.
Well, he has a good arm.
He has a good arm. He has a decent arm. He doesn't have that arm that Robert Griffin III has.
He was throwing interceptions in him. He was throwing them everywhere, Will. It didn't really matter. It really didn't matter. He was throwing them everywhere. Could have had even more interceptions, to be totally honest with you, if some folks didn't drop anything. The dude had a bad
outing. Had a bad game.
He just wasn't accurate.
But the problem, this goes to define your character. How do you bounce back after bad game?
Well, it goes back to this. This defines your character too. How do you perform under pressure? You know what I mean? It goes back to it. This is a division game. You didn't, like, the pressure got to you at home to get blown out 45-14. That's a pressure. This is a pressure game. This is a game that you just lost to Eagles. That's one divisional team.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the Giants, another divisional team. You know you need this game. This is pressure. All right. They needed you at your best. They needed you to play at a high level, and you put out that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but like I said, this is his fifth start. This is his fifth start as a quarterback. So, you know, the story isn't written on him yet. Yeah, he doesn't have one full season as a starting quarterback, but I think the Giants at least had enough game film on him to know his tendencies.
Of course, they played against him before last year.
And they stated that Kirk Cousins stares down his receivers. So, he doesn't look off. He doesn't look off safety. That's how cornerbacks knew to undercut routes and everything, because they know wherever Kirk Cousins' eyes were locked on, that's where he was going with the ball.
All right, we'll put this on a Facebook page. Can Kirk Cousins still take the quarterback job away from RG3? This was on the Redskins' diehard family page. Kevin said no. Robert has proven when healthy that he can perform. Sadly, he has not been able to remain healthy long enough post 2012 to demonstrate this. However, I believe he gives the Redskins the best opportunity for success long term. My man Eric says, until the O-line can pass protect, it won't matter who's back there. Griff's athleticism and Kirk's quick release are making this group look marginal when the entire right side is a joke. That's true. That's true. Tyler Columbus needs to be taken to the woodshed.
Yes. Tyler Columbus, he needs to, Morgan Moses needs to, well, I guess it's too soon, but, you know, heading into that bye week, if Tyler Columbus continues to play as the way he does, I think you might want to get Morgan Moses ready to start that Morgan Moses experiment.
Totally agree. My man Cedric said, can? The answer is yes. Anything can happen. A better question is, will he? I agree. Anything can happen, but I don't think he will. I'm not a believer in Captain Kirk. My man Greg said, Greg, hail to the Redskins, says, Cousins is exactly what people thought he was, a late-round draft pick. Look at his stats, his completion percentage, and decision-making gets worse each quarter. More turnovers to touchdowns, not too good of a runner. Griffin has Griffin has more of an upside. We know Griffin can throw. We know he can run. He just needs to become a pocket passer. Well, right, that's too much. He just need to become a pocket passer.
I'll say this. I know that's a small sampling of Washington fans, but people really flip the script on you after you have a bad.
You know exactly how they talked beforehand. Like our Captain Kirk. Yeah. Well, he's the new savior of the D.C. area.
Yeah, man.
Let's get RG3 out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I like to listen to the local radio, sports radio program that Dan Snyder owns. I'm not giving him any free pub. And it's amazing how the narrative changes after an outing like that. Just fans, Kirk Cousins is trash. Kirk Cousins is this. Kirk Cousins is that.
Same folks were saying something different, though.
And, you know, after the Jacksonville game, you know, you thought the Washington had the defense similar to the 85 Bears or to the 2001 Ravens.
I was one of them, too.
Yeah, and, you know, just people, just how, you know, their perspective changed after every loss. I'll say, like, Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X.
Relax. You know, at the same time, though, with that, like, I'll speak on the defense later, but it's just, I criticize certain elements of defense. I don't really go into, like, you know, what you're referring to. I criticize certain elements which annoy me, and there are certain elements. But let me read off.
I know one element that I'll talk about, one person specific.
I know, and I'm almost close to agreeing with you. And, you know, I represent.
Now you're jumping ship.
You know, I represent my culture. Well, man, on our actual Facebook page, same question. My man Dave says he's got to prove that he's overcome the mental block that causes him to collapse after a couple bad plays. Totally agree with you.
Totally agree with you, Dave. Super Dave?
Nah. Somebody else.
All right.
It's cool, though. I'll take all compliments. My man Commit said, who cares, son? 1-3 and haven't beat a divisional opponent in the last 8 games. We are the Detroit Lions of the 80s and 90s. My man, Commissioner, I love my man Jeremy. Man, Jeremy, RO's in the postseason. Let's roll with that, man. Let's worry about the RO's, man. My man George said the picture is not complete yet. Let's wait until we get through through the games Kirk is going to play before we pronounce him the next big thing or the next big member of the Burn of the Month Club. The Bum of the Month Club.
Yeah, I think this game, as I stated, I think, you know, you go against Jacksonville, a team that's atrocious. And you see how he performed. You had him against the Giants off a short week in a primetime game against a Giants team that looks like they're ascending. And you see how he performs. Now we go Monday night against the defending Super Bowl champs, and we'll see how that happens. So then I think you'll have enough examples to see how you could project them long term.
I mean, I feel like Kirk Cousins' pattern has been out there. I mean, we saw what he did last year. There ain't nothing special. You know, and also, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. He's showing us who he is. He's Kirk Cousins. He's Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk of the Interception Enterprise. That's who he is. He ain't doing it. He throws picks. That's what he does. Unfortunately.
Yeah. But,
you know, and he chokes. I mean, he chokes. You know, he ain't a guy, like, when the game's online. Like, I played ball today, for real, man. I played ball today, my lunch break.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? A couple hours. But, you know, I was off. I wasn't shooting at my capability. But you know what? I took every shot that I needed to. I took every shot. Tried to make it. Didn't care.
You had that Kobe Bryant mentality.
I had I had a killer mentality.
You had the Kobe Bryant.
I had
mentality.
That killer mentality. I don't have. I don't have a rapist mentality. I have a killer mentality.
Well, no, I say that because they had an interview and they was Kobe Bryant. They were talking about he spoke on how Deron Williams was 0 for 9 during the playoffs, and he said that Deron Williams didn't have the right mentality. The next his mentality should have been, if I'm 0 for 9, then I'm gonna take these next 20 and I'm gonna be 20 for 20.
Exactly. So the percentage goes up. But anyway. But that the game we lost, I felt bad. I mean, I felt bad because I was like, I wasn't clutch enough. You know what I mean? I was off, but I still should have. I feel like I should have made those buckets. Came to get the last game. Oh, boy was on fire.
Oh, okay.
Boy was on fire. You know what I mean? I was like, every shot I felt was like, boom, in the groove. I had somebody talk. This dude was taller than me. Boom, he jaded up. It was like we were down 14-12. You know what I mean? Got the pass, no hesitation. Jacked it. Dude was like, you know, dude was about 6'5", 6'6". Jacked it over him, numbered the net, 14-14. That's clutch.
That's clutch.
That's clutch. That's what I do. Again,
ice water
in my veins. But that's who I am, though. That's who I am. You know what I mean? That's what I'm about. I want that ball. I want it. All right. I want to take that shot. All right.
Kurt doesn't. Well, no, I'm not gonna say he doesn't. I just think he was. He was pressing. From what I saw during those four interceptions, he was pressing. He wants to put a stranglehold on the position. And if he isn't the starting quarterback here in Washington, he wants to show people around the league that he's a star starting quarterback. Because, you know, as we know, there are 32 teams, so there's an opportunity for you to get a starting position. But are you a star starting quarterback?
Okay, so let's go to that Thursday night game. How bad was that defense Thursday night?
I think you saw why people were stating that D'Angelo Hall would be missed. There were coverage breakdowns in the back end. What's his name? Larry Donnell. He basically abused everybody, no. Whether it was
Perry Riley.
Whether it was Perry Riley.
Treating like a prostitute.
Yeah, he did. Did whatever he wanted to.
Hold that ninja out.
Mm-hmm. Right on his face.
Right on his face. Pow, surprise.
Yeah, the defense, the pass rush wasn't there. The guy who you're paying $11.5 million, is it $11.5 million?
You're about right. Come on, continue.
Yeah, through the first quarter of the season has a half of a sack.
I thought it was one. I think that's
no, he's
terrible.
Credited with a half.
When
of
NFL
a sack.
Needs to fix that, he has one.
He has a half of a sack. How many that projects to over a season? That's over 16 games, two sacks. So he's projected to have two sacks and make $11.5 million.
You don't believe that? You only gonna get two sacks though. You don't
well,
no,
that. That's how. If you just take the first four games up. And you project that over the rest of the season, that's two sacks.
But he's playing with a bum hand.
Like, but he's getting paid $11.5 million.
Continue your story, son.
He's getting paid $11.5 million. Well, no, I'm just saying. What you're talking. If you're making $11.5 million, then you need to make impact.
Hey,
play.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm kind of agreeing with you.
Tamba Ali last night.
Oh, he was a beast, but he hurt. Was he hurt?
No.
He was healthy.
I'm pretty sure that he has some
No, he hasn't wear
minor
a cast.
Ailments.
The man has a cast. He's playing one hand. You need your hands as a pass rusher. That's just, we know this. I'm just saying.
Hey,
let you
stop
go
making excuses. $11.5 million.
No, I agree with what you're saying.
Well, if you're not healthy,
then sit your ass down.
Sit your ass down.
I agree. I think he should sit his ass down. But I'm just saying that he didn't play at a high level on Thursday night.
He's never played at a very
high
level.
He has.
He's average at best.
He's not average at best.
He is average at best.
You can't be average and get 10 sacks. I'm sorry. You just can't. That's impossible.
In today's NFL?
No. What average NFL pass rush you seen get 10 sacks? Average. I'm waiting. TikTok. Let's go.
Let me think. Give me some time to think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we can't do dead air. All right. But the defense.
Ryan Kerrigan had four sacks during the game.
Yeah, he's above average.
Okay.
He's above average. I think Ryan Kerrigan's.
Ryan Kerrigan is the face of that defense.
Currently?
Yes.
Yes.
He's the best defensive player you have.
This season? No, it's Hatcher. When healthy.
Hatcher's the most impactful.
Hatcher is the best defensive player. He makes Kerrigan
look
good.
He's the most impactful, but I think Kerrigan
nah,
is
Kerrigan, no. Hatcher's
all around
the, Hatcher's
best.
The
instinctively,
please,
get into the ball.
Redskin fans, please call in. Number is 202-495-0904.
We would love to have
who
your
Who is the best, who is the face of the Redskins defense, or the best player on the Redskins defense? Please let
show us hell ain't Arakpo.
No, it's not Arakpo, but it is. But I tell you who it is, Hatcher at the moment. You can't
Hatcher
take that.
Hatcher is the most destructive player.
He gets constant pressure. Those guys, the ends aren't getting constant pressure. I like Kerrigan. Kerrigan is playing better than Arakpo, but he's not getting constant pressure. The constant is Hatcher. And to be totally honest with you, and to be real with you, I can say Keenan Robinson has outplayed all of them in a linebacker position. Kerrigan had the one game. Don't get wrong. We had four sacks, and it was unbelievable. But Keenan Robinson has been very consistent.
I'm gonna tell you how you solve Brian Arakpo's pass rushing problem.
How can I?
You schedule the Jaguars and you schedule the Raiders.
He had a half a sack against the Jaguars, so you can't say.
Hey,
that.
Well, a half a sack is better than what he's been doing all the season.
Well, anyway, I'm gonna get to my man Arakpo because Will is going in.
I'm just stating the facts. I always talk from the position of facts.
All right. Anyway, D'Angelo Hall's loss doesn't really. It's not a big deal. What I'm disappointed in the secondary and that, you know, secondary is one, we cut Rambo. Mayweather's in garbage. He's kind of almost as bad as Rambo. That's one. Secondly, Amerson. You know, I thought this dude was going to be the next big thing. The Eagles game, I guess I was the only one that stated, like, he looked kind of off against the Eagles game. I'm hearing people say, like, he's played well till this game, the Giants game. No, he played bad against the Eagles to me. He's following that up with a bad game against the Giants. I need Amerson to step up. I mean, I see potential. I see a star cornerback. I look at it. I see the tools. I need this dude the ball. He needs to be not shut down, but he needs to be one of the top cornerbacks in this game. That's what his skill set that's the kind of skill set he has. Now use that. Develop it. Make sure you do your technique right. Because to me, his technique is off. Get your technique right and be that cornerback that I think you should be. Because to be honest with you, I'm looking at Breland and thinking Breland's better than Amerson. And Breland is green. Like, he's green. To me, Breland is like around the receiver, tight end or a wide receiver. When I'm looking at Amerson, it's like, dude, you're getting beat by receivers who are probably fourth, fifth on the depth chart. You let Reuben Randall kill you like he's freaking Andre Johnson. No, he's Reuben Randall.
Reuben Randall's okay.
Reuben Randall's Reuben Randall. He's from okay. LSU. He's from LSU. LSU. Okay. LSU. The only LSU wide receiver that's good is one. Dwayne Bowe. They all suck. All right, let's be real. They all suck. LSU wide receivers suck. Mark Clayton should have been good. He sucked. Was it Mark or Michael? Either way.
Mark
sucked. Thought he was supposed to be good Tampa. 1 year, phased out. A bum. They all suck. LSU wide receivers aren't good. Reuben Randall torched you. Be concerned if you're supposed to be a top flight corner. Reuben Randall took you to the woodshed and torched you. You are better than that. Ball, son. Ball. Pissed up. Like, I hold Amerson to highlight. Like, that really annoyed me. Like, I'm looking at Amerson, I'm watching. Dang, you let Reuben Randall, like, he's like, dang, he pimp slapping you. Like, powder on the hand, getting at you. Like, powder on the hand, son, give him your cheek. I'm about to smack it out of you. This is what he did to him. All right?
I mean, it was overall a bad night for Washington's defense.
It was. It really was. 45-14. You should just, like, basically no lube.
Outside of the punter with that 77-yard punt,
the punter
that's
was
the only
awesome.
Positive.
No lube on y'all, man.
And Alfred Morris, his running.
Yeah, and Jay Gruden, like, you put too much on Kirk Cousins. Like, seriously, like.
I mean, but that's his M.O. with play calling.
You need to start utilizing Alfred Morris and Roy Helu and stop putting pressure on Kirk Cousins. He doesn't need that. Start treating him like you were about to treat RG3 because that would take pressure off Kirk Cousins. All right, let's go to the Brian Arakpo, Will's boy. He mentioned Brian Arakpo. Should he be benched for Trent Murphy?
No, because as of yet, Trent Murphy hasn't shown a whole lot, and you're paying this guy $11.5 million, so you got to get some return on your
investment. Injury, because he's injured. I mean, it's the reason why he's not getting pressure because of the hand. Why not bench him? I'm on the side of benching him. I think you should bench him, let him rest up, get healthy, play Trent Murphy, and let's see what he can do. Brian Arakpo isn't going to be an impact player, which looks like
he's never been an impact.
No, he's been an impact player for me.
He's never been an impact.
Well, Brian, this is my part of the whole conversation.
Okay, yeah.
Why is my man Will T getting on?
I apologize. Go ahead.
Why is my man Will T? He has never been an impact player. Let me finish, sir.
Speak.
All right, Brian Arakpo. says he can be an impact player, which he has been to me, play Trent Murphy, put him on the bench, let him rest up, and, you know, if he doesn't, you know, and it looks like we're on direction of not re-signing him, let him sit on the bench and let Trent Murphy get some experience. I ain't mad at it because I haven't been happy with Brian Arakpo. I won't lie. This dude should be dominating. You're right. He's paying $11 million. You told me you're supposed to be unleashed the beast. If it was me and I said I'm trying to be unleashed, I'm a damn near a produce. If you've been unleashed, now you're officially unleashed. I don't see any sacks. I don't see any multiple sacks. It's time to happen. Like, to be honest with you, like the game against Jason Peters, you're supposed to, like, do your thing. You're supposed to show Jason Peters that I can get mine. You show me one play that you got by Jason Peters. There's one play. It was only one. Should have been more than one. I saw Ryan Kerrigan get by Jason Peters.
Well, you're changing your tone from last week when we were talking about.
Because I had to defend my man. He's Nigerian.
Okay. I mean, just but like I said, keep it 100.
I ain't keeping 100 last week. I can admit it. I'm keeping 100 right now. I ain't.
Now that are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. They won't bench him because they're paying him 11 some odd million. They won't bench him because for some reason they believe that he's an elite pass rusher. He's stated that he's been shackled. Last year he was shackled by the Shanahan system. Him and Jim Hassel were shackled, like in Roots. So now they're unleashed. Now they can run north and find freedom. And they've been given that chance.
They run towards the north.
They can run north. Yeah, they can run toward the moon.
Behold!
Shut up. So they can run. They can run free. And now they can do what they were meant to do, which is Haslett dial up unique blitzes, blitz from every angle in Arakpo, which is get to the quarterback, which he's done half. He has a half of a sack, which is pathetic. If you claim that you're a top five pass rusher, you've been unleashed. You can, you know, Jason Peters is arguably one of the best left tackles in the NFL. You're supposed to, when you go against the best, you're supposed to take the level of your game to another level. And that he just didn't show that against Philadelphia, and he didn't show that Thursday night against Will Beatty. Will Beatty, of all people. Will Beatty isn't a world beater. Exactly.
Exactly. That's why I agree.
Should they bench him? Maybe. Allow him. I want him to be healthy. I want him to be healthy during the stretch run so you don't have any excuses. You can earn your 11 some odd million, and then you can go and get the 15 to 20 sacks you were talking about during the offseason. That's what he said. He said he's going to get like 15 between fit. He needed to get between 15 and 20 sacks during the offseason for people to really view him as the elite pass rusher that he is. So get healthy, big boy. Save your energy. Get the strength back in your wrist because you'll need it as you continue to play against the rest of the dominating left tackles in the NFC East. And go on and show that why you are Brian Arakpo, one of the five best pass rushers in the NFL.
I will say this, Robert. I will say this. the Brian Arakpo, I mean, you need the ball. The pressure's on you. You put this out there. And the dominating pass rusher that I know of, when they hurt, they still find a way to put pressure on you. That's the truth, though. I won't lie to you. They find ways. I watched Reggie White as a kid. If Reggie White played with a cat with one, damn near one arm, one hand, and still was getting constant pressure with one hand.
Yep.
And I'm not, I know Brian Arakpo is far from a Reggie White, but I'm just saying, it can be done. You know what I mean? So it's time to, like, really
put up a shut up.
Yeah. Like, and like, when we talk about having a motor, like, look at your career. Like, really go through it. Look at your boy Ryan Kerrigan. He doesn't have some of the athletic ability that you have. But his motor keeps going. If you ain't make – if your pass rushing moves aren't to par, show that motor.
Moves would mean that he has more than one.
Yeah. But, you know,
but he only has one
pass rushing move. But you know what I mean, though. You know what I mean? No, he has two. A bull rush and a wide move. I know his moves. And it's not the best in the world. But – I know it's moves. Don't get twisted. Like,
or if not that, do what Ryan Kerrigan does.
It's consistent.
Get your hands in the air.
Yeah.
When the quarterback passes to your side, Pat it down.
Yeah. JJ Watt move. Yep. Like, dude, just consist. Or my thing is consistently move. Oh, don't get flustered. Keep moving, and a sack will happen. At least let your motor have that motor going, and you'll be fine. But yeah, it's time to, like, Arakpo, it's time to step up. Like, Amherst, it's time to step up. Y'all dudes need to step up. I'm getting sick of it. Anyway, let's go to the Seattle Seahawks Redskins game on Monday night. Who needs to step up? Any other individuals that you think need to step up?
Outside of Kurt and Arakpo, I'll say Tyler Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely needs to
step up.
That's
not going to happen, though. He's not going
to
step up.
Logan Paulson, if Jordan Reed and Niles Paul aren't able to go. David Amerson.
Okay.
Even though we know Seattle doesn't have the best
wide receivers. But he's going against subpar wide receivers, and they're still giving the business.
Yeah. Brandon Merriweather, you need to step up against that run. Mm-hmm. Get in the box. You're going against a big boy, Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, you gotta bring your big boy hat. Put a helmet on him.
Yeah, you got to. For me, I mean, you mentioned all the guys I believe that need to step up. Truth be told, I would like to – I mean – they're going to need to. It's not that they didn't play well during the season, but I need Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson to be number ones against the secondary.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup. Legion of Boom versus Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, because, you know, everyone believes that you have two number ones on the outside for Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how they go against arguably one of the – if not the best secondaries in the NFL.
Yeah, so I'm going to need them to step up. But it's not because of anything negative. It's just that Kirk Cousins is going to need your help. And also, I'm going to need Jay Gruden to step up as a play caller.
He stated in one of the interviews that Sean McVay has been calling a lot of the plays.
I'm going to need Jay Gruden to step up as a play caller. He's throwing the RG3 move. I'm going to need him to step up as a play caller. Okay? All right, if you want to say Sean McVay, go ahead, both of you. Because if both of you call the plays, I'm going to need both of you all – You two to step up as play callers. Period. Alfred Morris, Roy Helu touches the ball. And you can even throw in Cyrus Red too. We need to be heavy on the run game. Do it, because that's what this offensive line is better at. They're better in running. So run the ball.
And to come out and put up a dud when you've had like 11 days off to prepare for this game.
Yeah.
This will be a very telling performance of how Jay Gruden is able to get his team to bounce back from adversity, how Kirk Cousins bounces back from adversity. And also, you've had like 10 or 11 days to prepare for this game because you played last Thursday. Then you had that week off. Then you had Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, Monday. So 11. You've had like 10 days off.
Well, Seattle had
to prepare.
A couple weeks. Seattle,
yeah, Seattle's been on the bye also.
Yeah, so they've been a couple weeks to prepare for one team.
Yeah, so both teams have had some time to prepare, but we all know that Seattle is going to come out prepared no matter what.
We know this. That's Pete Carroll got them boys going. How do you see Kirk Cousins going against the Legion of Boom?
I would say avoid throwing the ball outside towards the numbers.
Gotcha.
Your strength.
They're going to funnel you there, though.
Yeah, but, you know, your strength is inside the hashes. Try to beat them over the middle with if Niles Paul is able to go, he's a guy. I'm not going to say cause matchup problems for their linebackers because their linebackers are just as fast. But, you know, he'll bring another dynamic to that passing game. Andre Roberts, you got to use Andre Roberts also. You have to look off Earl Thomas. It's imperative that you look off Earl Thomas.
Probably won't happen. You have to. All right, Trent Williams. Has a banged up knee. Do you see him playing this game?
He has to play this game. He has to. He's got to tough it out. He's got to at least suit up and go. If that knee gives him a lot of problems during the game, so be it. Then you come out, but you got to at least suit up and go. Give your team the best opportunity to win this game, because without him, it's going to be a long night for Kirk Cousins.
Trent Williams has to, like Will T says, Trent Williams has to play. He has to play, and he has to make sure he punches Richard Sherman in the face for a rematch. This has to happen. Trent Williams,
That was 5 years ago?
I'm still salty. That's not 5 years
ago. No, 3 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. Year, that was last time we were in
playoffs. What happened to letting bygones be bygones?
I don't believe it.
I thought you were about forgiveness.
I am about forgiveness, but he does need to be socked in the face for it. He can still be forgiven. You can get punched to be forgiven. That doesn't happen.
I don't forgive anyone who puts their hands on me. You're forever my enemy.
Exactly.
You're forever my enemy.
Well, Trent Williams already got him the first time. I'm just saying, you just get him again.
I mean, but Richard Sherman and them boys, they got him, Trent Williams in the club in Hawaii.
I know they got him back.
Yeah, they got him back.
They got him back. That bottle. They got him with that bottle service, cuz. Yeah, but Trent Williams has to play. He has to protect Kirk Cousins' blind side. because that pass rush is coming. This team is, well, we do know one thing, that Seattle isn't the same on the road compared to at home. So I definitely have to see Trent Williams definitely has to play in this game. The pass rush won't be the same, because you know in Seattle them boys rush up, and you know obviously the noise plays a factor in that too. So Trent Williams will play.
He has to play. And also, DC fans, you got to create a home field advantage for your team.
That's why we getting the stadium.
Got to get liquored up. Got to be raucous.
Yeah, get drink get some 1738 or something.
Do something. Drink before you get in. You got to give Washington a home field advantage.
Yes, because obviously I know the drinks over there are expensive. Jasper's is right around the corner. Get fried early. It's not you only have to really drink and drive either. You know what I mean? You can walk if you really wanted to.
Yeah, you could.
That's a long walk, but you can walk. But still, though, you know what I'm saying? You can Uber over there. Who cares? Uber it up. Take a cab.
Yeah, but
get fried.
Yeah, Washington fans, you have to give your team a home field advantage. You got to come in there. You got to get loud. Make it hard for Russell Wilson to make his calls, for you know, make his audibles to change the blocking assignments. So give your team a home field advantage.
So your key for this team to compete in this game is basically the crowds to get hype.
Yeah, this crowd day and. Washington has to give them a reason to come out hype. You know, you got to do something. Whether it's at least take a shot with DeSean Jackson over the top. Whether it's Alfred Morris breaking a big play or Roy Helu in a screenplay. Give the fans a reason to be excited.
Well, to me, it goes to defense. The key for this team to win is to make sure they shut down the Seattle offense. I'm not saying the Seattle offense is high octane, but at the end of the day, you need to take away. You got to take away Lynch. This team has done well other than the Giants game and take away the run against the Seattle Seahawks. Try to limit Percy Harvin. You can limit Percy Harvin and take away the running game of Marshawn Lynch. This team can compete in this game. I'm not saying getting a W, but this team can't compete in this game. So it's up to the defense. I'm talking about Perry Riley. It's time to man up, dude. Anytime you got people putting you out there on tape and say you can't cover. And you can't do this, it's time to man up. Pride plays a part, man. That's life. Pride plays a part. You gotta look at the film and say, you know what? I'm embarrassing myself. I'm embarrassing me, and I'm embarrassing my team, and I'm embarrassing the Washington Redskins organization by stepping out on the field.
And the fans also.
And the fans. So, dude, like, step up. You're a guy that you weren't even that bad in coverage as a rookie. I don't know where this came from, but it's time to step up.
I mean, compared to the other guy who was playing.
Yeah, of course, London Fletcher was horrible.
Everything
was better. Yeah, exactly. So it's time for him to just step up. But anyway, predictions.
I think that
what the score?
Washington, I'm not going to say reverses their fortune and goes out and win, but I think this one's a little bit closer. I think it's 24-20, Seattle.
24-20, that's fair. I'm a diehard Redskins fan, so obviously I'm going to pick my team. I got the Washington Redskins winning this game, so you can call them like Sonny Jurgensen or something. Redskins, 20-17.
Okay.
20-17.
Anyway, I wonder, what's the line for the game?
I think Seattle's 7 up.
7?
Yeah.
Wow.
At a home game.
For a home game.
That's what happened.
Well, I guess you take into consideration they've been off. For a bye week, and then
it's called being embarrassed.
Yeah,
you think the bye week?
I mean, I think that plays a role in it, you know, because usually teams traveling from west to east, the line isn't that big, but they get taken into consideration they had off week, then also Washington's performance. So, yeah.
All right. Anyway, it's time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about some Week 4 notables and also what we learned in the first quarter of the season. It's the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Bands make her dance. All these cheese popping, popping. just popping bangs.
Bang. 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 Let the world hear our conversation.
I know, right? It's awesome. Great conversation, though.
Yeah, I lose my keys when I come to the studio.
He do, yeah, he do. Hey, Pedro, I hear you, homie. I hear you. I'm keeping the real with my listeners. My Redskins are going to win. We're going to shock the world, homie. We're going to shock the world like Ali. She's going to shock the world.
If Washington gets this win, this will be their Super Bowl for the fans.
Pedro, this is real talk. When Washington wins this game, you owe me 2 shots. If Washington loses this game, I owe you 1.
That's kind of a lopsided bet.
Son, we're not favored. Who's taking a risk here? All right, really? Come on. Who's taking a risk here?
True.
If truth be told, I shouldn't even take this bet. Make this bet.
You shouldn't.
All right. So
that's how much passion and love you have for your team.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And big ups to Phil Simms, who messed up. He wasn't trying to say the Redskins.
He slipped up once.
Exactly.
A-hole. Once is all it takes.
You respect the gangster, son. Respect the gangster. Trying to hold it in. The Washington football team.
Just say Washington. Yeah. Like I say, Washington.
Yeah, with your bias-ass Giants reporting anyway.
But you know what's interesting? Did you watch Monday Night Football?
I did. Didn't watch all of it. Actually, didn't watch it like that for y'all.
It's the Chiefs were playing.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of people dressed in Indian attire doing the tomahawk prior to the game. And ESPN, stated that they, you know, some of the announcers have had problems with the use of
the Redskins.
The name is a derogatory racial slur per se, but then ESPN is kind of, you know, for at least 5 minutes was just showing the fans doing a tomahawk chop dressed up as Chiefs, and you know
that's what I've been saying. The problem with this argument is that my opinion is that the Washington Redskins is a franchise that makes a lot of money. Money plays a part, and these people are going after the big dogs. That's what it is. There are teams out here that do this. That to me, they act upon it. They may the name may not it, but they act upon it in terms of degrading Native Americans.
Well, I'm not gonna say that's degrading. I think imitating them.
Imitating, make fun, whatever you want to call it.
And you know, some Native Americans may shun it. You know, someone imitating something that's something that's an action that's kind of deeply entrenched in their culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, you know, this is probably a bad comparison. Just like, you know, some people would be upset if someone tried to dress black and wear big gaudy chains and sunglasses. And, you know,
some people don't like that.
Yeah, some people don't like that. But everyone has their different opinions on it. So it's interesting, though, once me just looking at that. You know, just observing that and looking at that, you know, from an unbiased perspective, you know, a lot of people, I was just thinking to myself, a lot of people at that station, ESPN on that channel, make a lot of noise about the Redskins name. And then, you know, them showing that, you know, for so long on Monday Night Football, it's kind of like, where's the quality and kind of your argument, but each his own.
Again, the phone lines are open. The number 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Let's get into the Monday night game. Patriots Chiefs. The Patriots got beat bad. Was it
41-14. Mm-hmm. They pulled Tom Brady in the fourth quarter for their second round rookie, Jimmy Garoppolo. He ended up giving a little spark to the offense, scoring 14 points. I think he went 7 for 8.
Well, he's a new starting quarterback for the Patriots this season. He's taking Tom Brady's job. He's a new Captain Kirk. That's because Tom Brady's been struggling. Garoppolo. I can't even say his name, Garoppolo.
Well, I think Tom Brady has a little bit of equity because he's won 3 Super Bowls.
That doesn't matter. The people in this area are so not loyal. RG3 gave us a division championship.
But that's what I was about to say. Three Super Bowls to a division championship, that's a very big gap. But, no, I think that kind of I'm not going to say Tom Brady, but Bill Belichick's arrogance or overconfidence, will I say, is kind of caught up with him, not surrounding Brady with the weapons. You know, he has Gronk. And, you know, he has Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman catches just about everything that comes his way. Maybe you were a little bit arrogant getting rid of Wes Welker so soon and bringing in Amendola. Maybe you were a little bit arrogant and just going with Kimbrell, Dobson, and Brandon LaFell, even though LaFell had his best game as a Patriot, you know, maybe you did need to keep Logan Mankin and not trade him for that for Tim Wright and that fourth or fifth round pick that they received back from him. So all I'm saying is, you know, I think sometimes people, when they're on top, they get complacent. They think that there's such a wide gap between them and the competition, where in fact, in actuality, when you're on top, that's when you should be innovating. You should be taking chances. That's when you should bring in the guys that can help prolong Tom Brady's career and make this thing and take this team and this offense over the top. If you look at them compared to Denver, Denver went all in with Peyton Manning. They went out, they brought in Wes Welker. Even though they let Eric Decker go, they upgraded, in my opinion, with Emmanuel Sanders. They've improved that defense. They've shuffled around that offensive line. Denver, to me, is taking the right approach with, like, we're all in for now. And I understand what Belichick is trying to do. He's saying that, okay, even though we have this great quarterback, we're not going to sacrifice in the interim we're not going to kill our long-term gains in the interim. So he's playing with a young offensive line and letting them develop, and he's getting some young wide receivers and let them develop in the Patriots system. But I don't think that's necessarily going to be beneficial for them, because it's only once in a lifetime you get a franchise quarterback like Tom Brady. So you need to surround him with the talent and go all in right now.
Patriots are in trouble, but I agree with Will. They let this team get old. I'm taking advantage of, you know, Tom Brady's greatness. But also, to be honest with you, you know, Bill Belichick may be just be losing just a little bit of, you know, of that aura, that mystique when, you know, going against other teams. It used to be back in the day when, you know, a Bill Belichick defense sees a quarterback or a young quarterback or, you know, a quarterback with weaknesses, that he knew how to, you know, counteract that and knew how to take advantage of that. Obviously, Alex Smith has weaknesses, but he's a good quarterback. He has weaknesses. And the old Bill Belichick, in terms of what we know of him, would take advantage of him. And, you know, you don't see that. I mean, he played Miami with Tannehill, a young quarterback. Usually he kills young quarterbacks. I don't care how many. If he's young in the game, he's a couple years in the game. But Bill Belichick would kill that. You know, play the Raiders with Carr. Carr had an opportunity to win the game. Bill Belichick couldn't dominate that game. So when you look at Bill Belichick, you should think to yourself that, hey, maybe Bill Belichick is losing just a little bit. He's not that dude anymore.
I don't think it's that. I think it's because, you know, he's not going to forget how to coach football. He's been doing that all his life. I think it's more of that arrogance. I think it has more to do with the arrogance that my system is supreme. I can plug just about anyone in and teach them the Patriot way, and we'll continue to win. Where in reality, I know coaching is very important in the NFL, but it takes star players also. And I know he wants to develop players his way, the Patriot way, but you may have to invest in bringing some guys from the outside to help improve that offense. You may have to make a trade during the season if you think that if you want to get to that level where Peyton Manning and the Broncos are. And we'll see, they have another great test Sunday night when they go to Cincinnati comes into Foxborough. Cincinnati's undefeated, very hot. Offensively, this team doesn't play the way that they did previously under Jay Gruden. You know, this team is a more run-focused team. So Hugh Jackson is going to run no matter if you continue to stop him. He's going to run, and he's going to pick his spots with that receiving core with Mohamed Sanu, Marvin Jones. He comes back, and also A.J. Green. And
then AJ Green.
Yeah, you have Tyler Eifert and Gresham. So it's going to be interesting.
All right, so let's go to the Chiefs. Is Jamaal Charles back? He had 3 touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, he looks healthy. Looks like he's you know, he's still going to have some residual effects of that high ankle sprain, but he looks back to be the guy that he was, you know, in previous seasons, you know, the guy before he got paid. He looks like he's still hungry.
The guy before he got paid.
Yeah. I mean, that when you get paid, sometimes, I mean, getting paid is very telling. You know, the great ones continue to ascend, like the J.J. Watts. They continue to get better. But some guys, they get paid and they get happy and content.
J.J. Watts, the MVP of this year. to me, Jamaal Charles is back. He had over 92. I think he had 92 yards in the game. I mentioned he had 3 touchdowns. Was it 2 rushing, 2 receiving?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Jamal Charles, playing, you know, Jamal having that versatile back, a guy who can catch the ball out the backfield, a guy who can run for the big yard for big yardage and hit the home run play. It's only going to make this Kansas City team even more dangerous, and also what makes the AFC West even like one of the better divisions in football. You're talking about the Chargers, who are 3-1, the Broncos are like about 3-1, the Broncos are 3-2-1. They had a bye, right?
2-1.
They're 2-1, and also now the Chiefs are now even up to 2-2. So this division is a strong division. You know, so
don't forget the Raiders.
Yeah, well, other than the Raiders, I said a strong division. I said three. I'm not the Raiders. Are Raiders in football?
The Raiders. Well, I mean, they made a change with Tony Sperano today.
Yeah, so I know.
Are we going to talk about that later?
Well, we can talk about it now briefly before I get into Alex Smith.
Well, I just thought it was. I'm not going. Well,
firing. What's the name of the young coach?
Dennis Allen.
Dennis Allen.
They fired him by phone.
By phone. Tacky.
Yeah. I'm not going to say tacky. I mean, it's the digital age. People go about firing people now differently. It's, you know, social media, everything. Luckily, he didn't learn.
He get fired on Twitter? You're trying to say,
maybe.
Is that the way we're going? We're going to fire people on
possibly,
Twitter?
Possibly. I'm waiting.
On Facebook.
Well, I don't want to see no one
publicly fired.
Publicly fired like that. But,
it
you know,
be a, it could it, be.
It's something that we possibly could see.
Yeah. It could be a direct message.
Yeah.
You're fired. Don't come into the office.
Yeah, but they brought Tony Sperano is the head coach now. If I'm a Raiders fan, I feel kind of secure that Tony Sperano, he's turned around a losing team before. We know he took over the Dolphins from a 1-15 team and took them to 11-5 in the playoffs. They're not going to turn around to be a playoff team now, just because I think they have a lot of deficiencies on that roster as far as talent. But Dennis Allen is a guy who didn't have a lot to work with. He took over a situation where they had a lot of dead money on the books. Some people are saying that now Reggie McKenzie, the GM, he's going to be on the hot seat now.
He's done a terrible job.
Yeah, he should be.
There's some speculation that
Mark Davis wants to bring back Gruden and let Gruden have total control over everything. I mean, he's turned it around before in Oakland. He's been the only guy that's Hugh Jackson went 500.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson didn't get a fair shake over there, to be honest.
Nah, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't get a fair shake. Right now, the baseball update. The Kansas City Royals are up 3-2 against the Oakland A's. Moss hit a 2-run home run for the Oakland A's to cut the lead to 3-2. Well, to cut the lead a little bit. So this the game is 3-2. 3-2 Kansas City. Let's go Kansas City. But I'm gonna go to the Kansas City football team. I don't care about Oakland. Oakland's a loser. A bunch of losers anyway.
Okay.
I like the colors, though. Silver and black, though. Love the colors.
Yeah, I love the colors.
I love the colors. They're awesome. I love that. I have a silver and black hat. I have an Oakland hat. You would think I would have a Redskins hat.
The only official, authentic, as you would say, football jersey I have is a Jerry Rice Oakland Raiders jersey.
I have an authentic Bo Jackson jersey. Mitchell and Ness.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, but it's like too big for me now. I don't know what to do with that. Maybe I should give it to somebody.
Put it in a frame.
Yeah, I think I should do that. I should frame it up.
That's what I'm going to do with my Jerry Rice jersey. Yeah. I'm going to put it in the frame.
I never was a big fan of Jerry Rice.
And cleats.
Alex Smith. Kansas City. Alex Smith. Kansas City Chiefs Alex Smith is known as a game manager. But the guy put up nice numbers against the Patriots. Is that fair for us to continually call him a game manager?
I think it's totally unfair for people to keep calling him that. I think the guy plays within the game plan. He's a guy who plays to his strengths. He's a guy that if he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have that huge cannon arm like a Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, he knows that he can't fit in the tight windows all the time. So he would much rather make the check down or live to play another down by throwing the ball away or just scramble for a couple of yards. But to call him a game manager is totally unfair. You know, since his time when Harbaugh came in to San Francisco, the guy has, I think he's like one of the top five winning percentages as a starting quarterback. And even now as Kansas City, as a Chiefs quarterback. So, no, it's totally unfair. He plays within the game plan and within himself and in the system.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Alex Smith is getting the bum rap. This guy, he took the San Francisco 49ers to the NFC championship game, lost because of Kyle Williams. Then if you look at it, even for Kansas City, a team that didn't make the postseason, wasn't
you
a playoff
come back,
team.
You bring them 11-5,
yeah.
Make them 11-5 when you become the starter.
I mean, obviously we can credit Andy Reid, but he deserves credit too. already had a different quarterback, that Castle and company and folks, and they didn't do it. You get Alex Smith to change the quarterback, and this guy was competing for the AFC West title. Obviously, the Broncos emerged and they took that, but he was competing for it and took this thing to the postseason. And really, his defense let him down against the Colts. If it wasn't for his defense, he would advance to the playoffs. So this guy deserves a lot of credit, and he put up numbers in that. It wasn't like it was a managed game. He was putting up high offensive numbers in that playoff game.
He had like four touchdowns.
Yeah, four touchdowns, like over 300 yards.
Yep.
So this guy, to me, you can't be a game manager playing that way. Trent Dilfer was a game manager.
Totally agree.
Alex Smith is not.
Trent Dilfer.
Yes.
Sean King.
Yes.
Those guys were game managers.
What Alex Smith did was not a game on a game management mode. And to me, to call him a game manager, his defense had to be trill. His defense was a good pass rushing defense, but it wasn't like the defenses with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or like you mentioned, the Baltimore Ravens. To me, Russell Wilson, to a certain extent, could be known as a game manager. If you really wanted to break, I'm talking about younger, not this season. I think this season is a little bit different. But before, like last season, if you really want to break it down, he could be known as a game manager.
I wouldn't go that far.
I could.
I think his rookie year, definitely he was a game manager. But last year, they kind of opened it up a little bit. Gave him the chance to make plays. And now, you know, it seems like this is really his team.
This is his offense. This season, I definitely agree with you. This season is his offense. But anyway, let's go into the Eagles-Niners game. Let's go to Alex Smith's former team. The Niners beat the Eagles. It was a funny game because the Eagles offense really did nothing the whole game. But the Niners were down like 21-10.
Yeah, they scored
special team
on a pick six.
Pick six.
And a block punt. And
Sproles broke a long one for a touchdown.
On a punt return.
Punt return.
So they didn't have any offensive touchdowns, but at one point they were up 21-20.
21-10.
Yeah, 21-10. Mm-hmm. The offense just couldn't click, and it just goes to show you if you have those big boys up front like San Francisco does and you're physical, that gives you a chance. You know, and you play smart football, which is for San Fran giving the ball to Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick making some plays with his legs.
We'll talk about that one, too. You mentioned getting the ball to Frank Gore. We'll have to talk about that one.
Okay.
But you mentioned the defense was dominant. The San Francisco defense was dominant against that high-octane Eagles offense. It was impressive to see. It really was. Justin Smith is a man-child. Like, that dude, he amazes me. I look at Justin Smith where he was in Cincinnati. He wasn't that dude. Some people would call him a bust. He played well toward the end of his career in Cincinnati. Got the good contract in San Fran, and to me, he's gotten older, he's a better football player. And he's a guy to me. He's always, even with Alden Smith, he's always been. To me, he's like the best defensive player. I don't even care.
I like
Ballman when healthy. Even Patrick Willis, but to me, he is so impactful for that team when healthy. When healthy. Because he does so much, just like for Alden Smith. Alden Smith is like a dominant pass rusher because of him. When he's not there,
absolutely.
You saw the difference.
Yeah, Alden Smith is average when Justin Smith isn't there. But you didn't lie. He's definitely one of the best. He's probably the best San Fran defensive lineman. That defense just stepped up and showed out against Philadelphia. They shut down the high octane Chip Kelly offense. Another disappointing game for LeSean McCoy. Chip Kelly wasn't able to use his razzle dazzle to bring out, exploit certain matchups for them. I actually didn't see. I saw, I think, like the last 2 minutes of the game because I was busy.
I saw all the game. I saw all of it. But it was just, they dominated. Defense dominated the game, really did. I think they even showed a blueprint of the game. I think they showed a blueprint of how to beat the Eagles. But it's something, again, to me, Harbaugh showed in Stanford with the Oregon team. You got to be more physical. You just got to smack them in the mouth, and that's what they did. They're more physical. They hurt Foles. Foles was hurt. Like, he was getting up slow, and I don't know how long that kid's gonna last. But
they opened up Philadelphia's lunchbox, took their cookie, put it in their mouth, and just left the crumbs right there for them.
There you go. You spoke of LeSean McCoy being ineffective in the run game. Why is this happening, and do you feel that, you know, he stated he was the best running back in the game? Does he still hold that clout, like saying he's the best running back in football?
Well, I think he's I still think he's the best running back in football. The reason why he isn't
even when AP is not healthy. So you mean that even with AP, I mean not healthy, AP is not in the league because of this, you know, suspension. So even with a healthy AP, or are you saying that?
I just think when you think of a guy to play all three downs, LeSean McCoy does everything.
I'll let you continue.
Pass blocking, catches out of the backfield, can run between the tackles, can run to the outside, make you miss, can use a little bit, can use power. So I think all around back, yes. Adrian Peterson isn't asked to do some of the things that LeSean McCoy does. He's asked to be pretty much that bell cow, a guy who gets 20 upwards to 30 carries per game and really put that offense on his back, but isn't asked to do a lot of the catching out of the backfield. He isn't, or he hasn't shown a propensity to be a dominant pass blocker, picking up the blitz and things that, but he can do those things. So I'll say overall, I'll say LeSean McCoy edges him out by a smidget, but the most dominant running back is by far Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I think LeSean McCoy loses clout when he comes about, when he talks about being the most, you know, the best running back in football, because this game ain't showing it. I mean, this season hasn't shown it, and we can only talk about the sample size of now, and he doesn't look like the best running back. I honestly, to be honest with you, for him, you know, he came out and stated that I think teams are looking just to shut him down, and that's what's happening. Their goal is to shut him down and make Nick Foles beat him. And Nick Foles has done a good job until he fought a formidable defense, which is the San Francisco 49ers. Now, let's see how Nick Foles plays. I'm interested to see how Nick Foles plays when he sees these good defenses, because we already know LeSean McCoy is the person that people want to take out. And that's what they're doing. They're stopping LeSean McCoy. They're focusing on him. And let's see if he can do it. The always said, like, the key of a great running back is to, you know, that everybody's there to take you out. And if you can still produce, that's when I know that you're, like, a top-end running back. That's why I love Adrian Peterson so much, because every week when we knew that he had no quarterback, teams aimed to take him out, even that 2,000-yard season, and he still did it. And so that's why I always put him in a whole different level than other running backs. But let's go to another topic about the San Francisco 49ers. Deion Sanders stated that players want Harbaugh out. If this is true, what does it say about the San Francisco players?
It means that maybe they're fed up with how he runs the program. There have been some speculations that the players think that he treats them like college players. And just realistically, the things he could do at college, he could get away with. You can't do those things with grown men, or you might can get away with them because you're an authority, but it's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. But ultimately, winning is the name of the game. So I don't understand. As long as you're winning, I don't see why the hell you would be upset with them. We've seen, you know, guys who kind of that tyrant mentality, like Tom Coughlin. And he softened some of his stances and some of the things he done. Maybe Harbaugh softened some of the things he does. But in reality, I don't know why the hell you would be upset. You're winning. You come, and anyone who's been there for a long time.
You have no clout, seriously.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Go ahead.
Because up until that point, you were losing. And Jim Harbaugh didn't make widespread changes to that roster. He just came with the exact same roster that Mike Singletary and Mike Nolan before him had. He's come in and win with that roster. So I don't know, you know, all the things he's done, get over it while you're winning. Now, when he continues to not win, then you can bitch and moan about him. But while he's winning, just shut the hell up.
I'm with you. It's hilarious to me, because to me it just shows me that you about losing. You ain't about winning. Before Jim Harbaugh got here, you were a losing franchise, underachieving franchise. Had talent. People say you had talent, but you just didn't have it. Jim Harbaugh gets there. You're division champs.
Go to
a Super Bowl. You go to three NFC championship games, and you're complaining? Man, get your life in order. Get it in order. Like, you ain't about football. You about – You actually, truth be told, this is how I look at it. You're feeling yourself. You're really feeling yourselves, because that dude got you W's. You didn't get W's because you had another coach. You weren't getting W's. That dude got you W's. Stop it. Like, that's stupid. I believe Deion. I believe people came up to Deion, told him that. You know, I mean, I know Harbaugh's like, that's a bunch of crap or whatever. But I believe Deion. But the players who said that to Deion, get over it. Get over yourself. because that dude's brought you W's.
Yeah, and even you have to remember that before the Browns signed Mike Pettis as their head coach, there were some rumors that San Francisco was going to trade Jim Harbaugh to Cleveland to be their head coach. I don't know how that was going to work out, but, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But
how everything pans out when the end of the season, because, you know, you're still hearing little, you're hearing little stuff.
You know, just maybe like, you know, like his personality, like Larry Brown's, like Bill Parcells. Those are guys who we know who've had a lot of success but didn't stay at one place a long time. And it's, maybe it's because of their personality and their methods and means of exacting results. But we know that the means they get, you know, we see by their records what they produce.
Yeah, I don't get it. I like W's. That's all I care about. I mean, maybe because I'm a Redskins fan, we haven't, you know, got consistent W's. Give me Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah,
and what he can do for my and what he did for San Francisco. Bring that over here. I ain't complaining about it.
And also, you're a grown man. You're not playing for a coach. You're playing for your family. You're playing for your teammates, and you're playing for that check.
Yeah, you're playing check, and you want that title.
Yeah,
you want that championship.
Everyone's had a supervisor or a coworker they don't like.
That's true.
But you still get your job done.
And that supervisor's making me money. He's letting me make money, because when you win, what's that do? It builds that money, that cash flow.
Exactly.
So if you work, you ain't worried about, man, you ain't about that life. I'm sorry, you ain't about that money life. You ain't about that success life. Anyway, though the Niners won, Kaepernick still struggled. Is this offense putting too much on Kaepernick?
No, I think Kaepernick's problems are in his throwing motion. Colin Kaepernick doesn't know how to take just a little bit off of the ball. Everything is like a knuckleball. It looks like everything is shot out from a cannon at least 60 miles per hour. Colin Kaepernick has to learn how to make his progressions in his reads, and also has to learn how to throw the ball like an Aaron Rodgers. A guy who doesn't just throw it at one speed all the time, you know, just let up a little bit. So I think they could, you know, they need to continue to use their run game. You have like four running backs. You got Frank Gore, Carlos Hyde.
The dude from Oregon, Marcus James, LaMichael James.
I think they cut him.
They just recently cut this season?
Yeah, I think they cut
probably
him.
Probably come this season then.
Yeah,
but truth be told, you had Hyde Gore.
Yeah, so you're built, and then you have an offensive line that averages 315 pounds. So you need to just run the ball. That's been your strength. That's what's gotten you here. Don't deviate with what you do best.
This team is better suited when they run the ball. They're putting too much on Colin Kaepernick to be a passer. I feel like there's no need to feature Colin Kaepernick. You feature Gore, you feature Hyde, period. Stop featuring him as a passer. You feature Gordon Hyde. That's gotten you far. The reason why you can beat a Seattle Seahawks team normally is that you featured your running game. You lose football games is when you try to become a passing team. I know you have the weapons outside, and I understand, but this team is wins football games. And even in Stanford, Jim Harbaugh, when he was in Stanford, they ran the ball. They didn't feature Andrew Luck all the time, and Andrew Luck is a better passer than Kaepernick. They feature that running game. You do what you know. Do what wins games for you. Do what keeps you consistent. You can win games and you can beat some of the teams featuring Kaepernick. Fine, that's cool. I understand. But when it comes to winning the big one, the big game, feature your running game. That's what got you to the dance. That's what turned around the San Francisco 49ers with an Alex Smith. The run game. Utilize it. Feature that. Play action. Use some of those exotic run plays that you have. Focus on that. That will make Kaepernick a better quarterback.
Yep. Do what your mentor, Bo Schembechler, would do.
Yeah.
Just run the ball.
Run the ball. Just run the ball. All right. Well, So we saw Alex Smith last night. I mentioned Kaepernick struggles. Obviously, they picked Kaepernick over Alex Smith. Right now, who's the better quarterback?
Right now, who's the better quarterback? Alex Smith, by far. Now, who's the guy who could go out and win a game for you by himself? Kaepernick, because his legs present a different dimension that Alex Smith doesn't have. But Alex Smith makes better decisions, throws the ball in the intermediate routes better. He can read a defense better. And he's a guy that's going to not force the ball. He's going to make the check down, throw it away, or use his legs.
See, this is the thing. I agree. I think Alex Smith is the better quarterback. the Niners had to, I think the Niners made, but I do think the Niners made the right decision because Kaepernick's younger. So you just, you know, project him down the road to be a better quarterback down the road. But at the moment, Alex Smith is a better quarterback. Alex Smith, like you said, can understand. He understands coverages because he's been in the league long enough. He understands coverages, and he makes what you said, which is more important than anything. He makes the right decision. Kaepernick's decision making needs work. It does. It needs to work. To help Kaepernick, like I said earlier, Kaepernick could be an effective quarterback if the 49ers decide to run the ball more. Do what they did with Alex Smith. You do that, then this conversation is maybe a little different because we're not looking Kaepernick that way. We're saying, okay, he has the arm strength to make certain throws. But the Niners are featuring core, so we're looking at his play action. We're not looking at him trying to read defenses thoroughly. You know what I mean? We're looking at him, okay, play action, that's hit Vernon Davis on a seam route. Play action, that's hit Crabtree up the middle. Play action, that's just hit Anquan Boldin up the middle. You know what I mean? So we just utilize the run game, play action, and I'm sure it'll work.
Yeah, and it's not like Kaepernick doesn't have weapons. He has Crabtree, he has Boldin, he has Vernon Davis, Stevie Brandon Johnson, Lloyd, Stevie Johnson.
These are all number ones. Like, they used to be number ones at one point in time.
Yeah, so he has plenty of weapons. So, you know, I don't know, maybe it's the play calling, but you need to go back to running the ball.
I think it's the play calling. I need to go back to running the ball. I posed this question on Facebook page called Good Old Sports. My man Anthony said, yes, Smith is better. A lot of folks said Rodney. My man Rodney said, yes, he is. My man Michael Curtis said, depends what you want in your QB, but right now, yes. All agreeing with who would disagree? Trying to figure out. My man Manny Z Lewis says Kaepernick's the better quarterback. I wish you would explain why, but you didn't. It's okay. My man Darren says now, yes, but my problem with Alex Smith is he doesn't win games, and when we got down, we rarely came back. Too many dump passes and too many throws to tight ends and backs. Again, would you rather have somebody force it to a wide receiver who's not open though?
No.
You know what I mean? I know he threw it to a lot of running backs, but would you rather him force it? Because that's what Kaepernick's doing.
No, I wouldn't. I would quarterback that's going to play smart, mistake-free, and give us an opportunity to win. Give the other team more offensive possession.
Exactly. But thanks for the comments, folks. We really appreciate it. Anyway, let's go to another football game. Carolina versus the Ravens. We'll make this quick. Steve Smith ball. What a performance by Steve Smith.
Yeah, he like he said, I put on a training tape for them boys.
He sure did.
He did. He backed up everything he said he was going to do.
Know why he's special?
Why?
He's on my fantasy football team, dog.
I believe he was your pick.
And he was my pick. He was on my team, and he was my pick. Steve Smith, man. They should never let you go in Carolina. That's their fault. Could you imagine Cam Newton having you and Benjamin, it'd be a problem.
Steve Smith always said that he thought that Carolina need to go out and get a number one receiver while he was there so he can kind of move into that number two receiver mode. But he's showing in Baltimore that he is the number one.
Yeah, he's actually took away Torrey Smith's job as the number one wide receiver because if you look at Steve Smith, he's a guy who can go deep and also he can run intermediate routes anyway. So he can do what Torrey Smith does and he runs routes. So –
And you got to love a guy that talks-ish and backs it up.
Oh, you got to love it. You got to love it. And I'm going to have for Steve Smith. To me, he's like one of the best wide receivers we've ever seen in our era, period.
Yeah, if he had a decent quarterback during his playing career, he would be a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
I think he's a Hall of Fame. I think he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
I mean, he has a chance, but it's definitely not a lock.
Well, I'll say this much. He's made wide receivers. He's made quarterbacks look good.
He has. He's definitely done that.
He's made them look good. Think about what's his face? Jake DeLong. Oh God,
he's definitely the best player ever in Carolina Panthers history.
But I will say this: he's made this Ravens offense improve. Think about it. They don't have Ray Rice, C. Smith, Torrey Smith. They're outside.
No more Dennis Pitta.
No more Dennis Pitta. So he's improved the offense with all the losses. C. Smith is a dangerous dude at the age of 35. I think it's some record. Somebody his age never got over 700 yards or something like that.
It looks like he's going to shatter that.
He's going to shatter that. So all praise to Steve Smith. Because, dude, you a dog. Saints, let's go to Saints-Dallas, the game that really hurt me. Dallas looks like a decent team. I know they ain't play anybody, though, for the same time, though. But they look like a decent team. Has Jason Garrett finally turned the table and has gotten it right by featuring DeMarco Murray?
I'm going to say not yet because, A, you relying on DeMarco Murray, a guy who has historically had a lot of injuries. So you don't know if you can depend on him for 16 games. Two, we never know when Jerry is going to start coming in his ear and being like, we need to pass it a little bit more. I'm paying Romo all of his money guaranteed. Romo needs to step up and be the leader and win these games for us. It's cool now because, you know, you've exceeded expectations. But now, you know, you have a quarter of a season on tape. Teams are going to pick up your tendencies. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm not going all in on Dallas yet. I say pump your brakes for a little bit for the simple reason of DeMarco Murray hasn't been dependable for 16 games. Romo's back. We don't know how that could it potentially flare up down the line, and always the Jerry Jones factor.
I'll say this. They do feature DeMarco Murray, and he does stay healthy. This team has an opportunity to win the division. I'll go that far. As a Washington Redskins fan, I'll go that far and say they have a good chance. Now, I do agree DeMarco Murray has shown you that he cannot stay healthy. All right, so can you rely on him as a whole different beast? But if they go into a game and a defense does decide to take away DeMarco Murray, I will be interested to see how that team performs and Romo performs, knowing that they'll be one-sided. Because it's going to happen. All right, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. All right,
it's going to happen. The San Francisco 49ers, well, he ran well against the Niners, but Romo made mistakes. But it's going to happen when the team takes him away. It could be Seattle. It could be Arizona. But it's going to happen when the defense takes him away.
Totally agree with you.
And so when that happens and they have to rely on Romo, will Romo be Romo last season who had a decent year as a passer, or will he be what we saw game one against the Niners? That's the question. And also competition dictates what's going on. They played a Saints team that's not going to roll, and the two teams they did beat weren't that good. The Rams, no quarterback. Tennessee Titans are a team that's struggling. So we'll see how this team really is when the competition goes up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see them against the NFC East Division 4. Yeah, and see how that goes then.
Because we know how those games
then,
go.
Then I'll be able to give you a little bit more indication if I'm a believer or not, but all right, as of now, nah, put your brakes on.
Let's go to the Saints. Are the Saints in trouble?
Absolutely. They've shown that they can't win on the road. Rob Ryan's defense has a lot of holes in it. Just they aren't getting the play on the back end to kind of cover things up. They aren't getting to the quarterback with the blitzes. The running game, it looked good with while Mark Ingram was healthy. He's also on my fantasy team. but, you know, once you get Mark Ingram back and he comes back in, and maybe that gives you a little bit more better balance with your play calling. But this team, it looks like they're going to be in trouble. It looks like they're in trouble. But since they play in the NFC South and no one is really ran away with it, there's a chance that they could still continue to tread and make and win the division or be a wild card.
I don't think this team's going to make the postseason. This team is too inconsistent. I believe this team is very overrated. This team, when they're not at home, they're not a winner. When they're at home, they look good. They're front runners. This team is not a team that I have any respect for over the last semi-years, even though they won the Super Bowl. They're only good at home. They are who they are. When the Seattle Seahawks beat them a couple years ago, 7-9 in Seattle because they had home field advantage, they were the better team in terms of talent. They got blown out the arena. You know, this team isn't mentally tough to win a home game. Yes, they beat the Eagles. I feel like that was Chip Kelly's first year as a coach playing against the Eagles. They obviously were hyped. They made the postseason. They got a W. Okay, it happened. That I feel like that's more of a rookie thing. That was because that was a rookie team. But this team is not good enough to win home games.
Road games.
Not good enough to win road games. So, whoever this season they've showed you, they got beat by Atlanta, they got killed by the Cowboys. When they're at home, they beat up on who at home? They got a W. They got one win. They lost to Cleveland.
Yeah, they lost to Cleveland.
That was three games. So they won one game.
Yeah, I forgot who. Yeah, they but beat.
We exactly. So they lost to Cleveland. So look, I mean, this team is already down the A ball. This team is only good at one place.
Yeah, and that's at home. Either they're gonna go. They're most likely they may win every game at home. So let's say they go 8-0 at home. You got to get at least three or four victories on the road. Just the way they've been playing,
dude.
Against Cleveland, against Dallas, and against who's that third team?
Cleveland, Dallas. In Atlanta.
You haven't shown any that you've been able to do anything on the road, so they should be scared. I'm not going to say scared, but they should play with more urgency.
Yeah, so we'll see how this team pans out. All right, let's go. All right, so this Will's segment, he brought to the table, is a good segment. Things we learn from the first quarter of the season, of the NFL season.
Yeah, you know, most coaches or most people in general just observe the football season. They break it into four quarters, you know, 16 games, four games, and they pretty much can judge from there what's going on with their team and what's going on around the league. I think the first thing that we learned during the first quarter of the season is the two teams that were atop the NFL last year, the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos, to me, they're still the two best teams now during the first quarter of the season. I know that Cincinnati is 3-0 and they're undefeated, but with Cincinnati, I want to see them against a little bit tougher competition.
I'm not going to anoint that one. I think Cincinnati looks the best. Just what they're doing. The Ravens look good, and they beat the Ravens in Baltimore.
Okay.
So I think Cincinnati right now, just looking at them with the eye test, they're the best team. I'll tell you one thing. Right now, first quarter of the season, Phillip Rivers looking the best quarterback in the NFL. He took down the Seattle Seahawks, a team that Legion of Boom, and attacked Richard Sherman when Aaron Rodgers didn't.
I'm not going to say he attacked.
No, he attacked Richard Sherman. He attacked him. When you looked at Aaron Rodgers, who was intimidated by him, and you saw what he did to Buffalo. Right now, Phillip Rivers, if we look in the quarter of the season, looks like the best quarterback in the NFL.
Okay. Number two, let me phrase this. I want to play this because he's actually one of my favorite coaches. I think that we learned from the first quarter of the season there may be a change in the guard in Pittsburgh. With that team, Mike Tomlin, you know, he's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. Because he always takes responsibility. But just the way that team is kind of the way they're playing offensively, and we know defense is what Pittsburgh has been made of historically, the run game and the defense. Neither one of them the run game looks all right, but that defense looks atrocious. It may be a change in the guard in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin. He may be on the hot seat right now.
The thing I learned in the first quarter, you know, it was a small sample size. It's small. Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback of the future of the Minnesota Vikings. What he did.
I'm glad you finally agree.
Yeah. He's the quarterback of the future. I'm happy for Teddy Bridgewater. I was impressed with that game. So, you know, it was a small sample size, a game that, you know, Atlanta's playing Atlanta, who looked good against Tampa, and he balled out. So, even though he hurt himself at the end of the game, but. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is definitely a guy who could be the face if Adrian Peterson is coming back to face the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to build off of my second point a little bit. I think that coaches and what we're learning is coaches that are on the high seat are pretty quick with the hook on their quarterbacks, as we saw in Buffalo with E.J. Emanuel. Doug Marone, the head coach, he's made that switch after the first four games. And if you think about it, because E.J. Emanuel's injury last year during his rookie season, he hasn't really played 16 full games as a quarterback, you know. So Doug Marone's on the hot seat because of the change in ownership, so that's why he's making that quick hook. And then also you have talk in New Jersey or New York with the Jets and Geno Smith. There's been a lot of talk that Mike Vick could come in and potentially be that starter. And we all know that Rex Ryan is a guy who's on the high seat. So he, pretty soon or later, he's going to have a short leash on Geno Smith to try to save his job.
Yeah. And what I learned also, is J.J. Watt's the best player in football. Forget defense. Best player in football right now in the first quarter. I'm talking about, like, what he did to the Skins. The man had a touchdown as an offensive player and an offensive play. And what he did last week, getting that quasi tip ball and taking it to the house, the dude is like the best player in football. If any player in your defensive MVP, he's it. I mean, that defensive MVP of the NFL. Period. Offense and defense is J.J. Watt. Period. Yeah,
I totally agree with you.
So yeah, those are our three things we learned in the first quarter of the season.
So during the second quarter, after week eight, we'll come back with some things that we know that we learned, and, you know, we'll do this continuously every quarter of the NFL season.
All right, well, let's go into our picks. Last week's picks, we picked Panthers, Ravens. Will picked the Ravens. I picked the Panthers. Eagles, Niners. We both picked the Niners. Saints versus Cowboys. We both picked the Saints. Patriots versus the Chiefs. We both picked the Chiefs. The Chiefs won. The Cowboys beat the Saints. And Niners beat the Eagles. Will that week went 3-1. I went 2-2. Right now, total records are 9-8, and Will is 8-5.
Get it right, not 5-8, 8-5.
Will right now
well is above 500, well above 500. Three games above.
Wally is barely me personally. I am a game over 500, which is terrible. But anyway, four of the games.
You're still winning.
I'm still winning, but I'm not dominating. I like to dominate. I'm not dominating. Anyway, four games. We have four games for week five. I have first game, Texans versus the Cowboys.
Texans.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Texans because I'm anti-Dallas. But I need Ryan Mallett to start soon because Fitzpatrick just doesn't do it for me. Ravens versus the Colts.
Ooh, this one's a little bit tougher.
It's an Indy. It's a tough one. LeRon Landry got suspended for PEDs too. LeRon Landry got suspended.
I'm going Ravens.
Will has the Ravens. I believe in Andrew Luck. So I'm going with the best quarterback in his draft. So I'm going to go with Andrew Luck.
The best quarterback in his draft now.
In his draft. Okay. Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in his draft.
Okay.
Hands down. Better than
RG3?
I've always stated this.
Better than Kirk Cousins?
I've always stated that he's the best quarterback in the draft.
Okay.
I'm very consistent.
All right.
You have said that. I've always said it. So Andrew Luck and the Colts will beat the Ravens because they need to finish. They need to get back to 500. They need to get to 500. Excuse me. Arizona versus the Broncos.
Broncos.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Broncos. It's in Denver. It's gonna be a tough one for Arizona. And Carson Palmer. I'm not sure.
I just don't think Arizona can make enough plays against that Denver.
Even
though
they're undefeated, they're playing good ball.
Yeah, I just don't think they can make enough plays.
Yeah, not just enough. Yeah, I think defense will do a decent job though. Kansas City versus the Niners. Alex Smith
returns versus, back to the Bay.
We talked about who's the better quarterback. It's going to be a tough one. Two good defenses going at it.
I'm going to go with Kansas City.
I wanted to go there, but damn, my loyalty to Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh. Hopefully, he can be Michigan coach next season. I'm going to go with the Niners.
We didn't touch on that either.
Yeah, we should touch
Michigan.
You want to Michigan? They suck.
Well, I mean, just the whole controversy over them sending the quarterback back in after the he was dinged up.
Yeah, the concussion.
So that's probably going to cost the AD and Brady Hoke's job.
Probably, because they really want to fire Brady Hoke anyway. So
yeah, Brady Hoke is definitely gone.
Yeah, and I actually would like him to stay, but it is what it is.
I don't think he's going to survive this.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to survive this.
Not at all.
Bad season with the concussion.
And then on top of that, if they go – they host Ohio State this year, right?
I thought last year's game was home. I thought it was going to be playing in Ohio State.
Okay, well,
Columbus. I think we're playing in Columbus.
Get blown out,
that's a problem.
He won't survive the plane ride back.
If he can beat Ohio State, he can save his job. I know that.
If he goes 500 and beats Ohio State,
he can save his job.
Blown out to Ohio State, he won't even survive the plane ride home.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's go to our fantasy football segment. Week 4 fantasy picks. We'll pick Kirk Cousins, Captain Kirk. Wally picked Steve Smith. Genius, I know. Let's go into week 5. Fantasy football, your pick, Will.
Oh, my pick? I'm going first?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it yet.
Oh, me neither. At least you're honest.
I'm very honest. I knew it earlier. Oh, I know who I want. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to go with Julius Thomas, tight end for the Denver Broncos.
Of course he's going to fry. He's Julius Thomas.
Oh, so you want me to get a sleeper?
Not a sleeper. Somebody, no one's going to something cool. Like, not a sleeper, but somebody like, oh, snap, that'd be a good one. Like, Julius Thomas is an obvious start. Like, okay. No, you're never going to bench him.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I think Trent Richardson has a big game against Baltimore.
I like that one. That's a good one. He had a touchdown, so that was a good one. That's a really good one.
I think he's starting to ascend.
There we go. I like that one.
Yep.
That's a good one. Because he got benched, EJ Manuel, finally. Thank you. I'm going with Sammy Watkins Jr.
Okay.
He is going to – Kyle Orton is a quarterback. He's going to get the ball. Finally,
That's not saying a lot.
It's not, but he's a quarterback. EJ Manuel's not a quarterback. He's going to get the ball. He will get an opportunity to catch footballs.
Okay.
This will be the – you'll see Sammy Watkins Jr. go for 120, a touchdown against the Detroit Lions defense, the vaunted Detroit Lions defense. Though they'll get blown out, but Sammy Watkins will get out.
Okay,
and I'm thinking about starting him.
You
why?
Start him?
On my team.
Okay,
on my fantasy team. He's on the bench. I had him chilling. Now he can play.
Okay,
because he has a quarterback.
Okay, we're going to see how that goes. You know, Kyle Orton, he did have a couple of good seasons in Denver as their quarterback.
Exactly. Had a decent season with the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be Kyle Orton moves. And Sammy Watkins to me is a bona fide number one.
Yep.
So, yes, Kyle Orton, man, thank you. You're going to help my fantasy team out. I'm not going to pick you up for fantasy football. I didn't say Kyle Orton, folks. I said Sammy Watkins Jr. I said Kyle Orton would. Kyle Orton will help Sammy Watkins.
And reiterate, I'm going with Trent Richardson.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, we're about to wrap this show up. Before we close it out, listen to our show on our official Urban Sports Scene website. It's www.walio.podbeam.com. Podbeam is spelled podbean.com. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
All right. Once again, we want to thank you all for listening to us. Even if you're listening to us on the podcast or if you listen to us live, we appreciate it. Once again, we're fans just like you all. You're the reason why we do this show. So peace.
Peace, folks. And again, thanks for listening, even though we had a little delay. But Mega, take us out, my dude.